So our topic is, What Love My God? And I just want to pray as we start. Father God, we are so blessed to be able to come together to think about you, to turn our minds toward you, the great and awesome God, the creator of this world in which we live. Thank you that you have blessed us with your word. You've told us about your great love for us. You've provided us with the Bible to learn from. So as we open it now, Lord God, I just pray that you will teach us from it through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7, we read these great words that were written by King David. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing praise, psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. In these verses, David says to his listeners, the Lord is a great God. He is a great King. In fact, he is so great, he is above all other gods. There is no other God that compares to our God. There is no other Lord that compares to our Lord. He has total control over the world because he is the one that made it. He is the one who made us. He is the one who watches over us and cares for us. For these reasons, David declares that we should come with singing, shouting joyfully, bringing our thanksgiving and bowing down to worship him. Let's read those verses 6 and 7 again. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. There are many psalms where the writers encourage us to exalt our awesome God, to lift God to his rightful place through our praise. We are encouraged to come in humility with thankful hearts to worship our God. In the New Testament, Paul encourages Christians to come in the same way. An example of this can be found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Paul is encouraging his listeners to worship God through music. There are different music styles, and in this verse, Paul refers to three, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Different people prefer different types of songs and music to assist them to worship God. Whatever style of Christian songs you like, the outcome should be that your mind and your heart becomes full of the greatness of God and the message of his only Son, Jesus Christ. When we have some understanding of the extent of God's love for us and how that love was expressed, it should cause us to bow down in worship with thankful hearts. For some time now, I've been listening to worship songs from City of Light, which is a mission from St. Paul's Castle Hill Church in Sydney, Australia. While I enjoy their music style, it is the words that inspire me to lift my heart to worship. The lyrics turn my thoughts to Bible verses that describe God's incredible love. love so great that it would see Jesus coming to earth to die for the sins of every person that has ever been born, including me. I want to read through a song by City of Light that's titled What Love My God, and share Bible verses that come into my mind as I think on the words. I hope that as I share these verses, it will cause your hearts to worship God, that you might bow down before our almighty Creator God, that your heart will be overflowing with thanksgiving to him, that it will fill your mind with wonderful thoughts about Jesus as we come to take communion shortly. So the title of the song is What Love My God, and the first verse begins. Now what I've done here is I've put in up the words of each verse, and I've put the chapters in the Bible that I'm going to read the verses from. So really what this sermon is just really a collection of Bible verses. So if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to them, those are the Bible passages in yellow that you can find the verses that I'm going to share with you. So the first line begins, "What love my God would bring you down to earth." The Apostle John often referred to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. In 1 John chapter 4, John speaks a lot about love. In verse 8, John declares that God is love. In verse 9, he says that God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world. And in verse 10, John pulls it all together, saying, "This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." The message of Jesus came down to earth. When it came down to earth, it was not written in bold letters across the sky. It was given to shepherds who were looking after their sheep. In Luke chapter 2, we read about the shepherds watching their sheep when an angel of the Lord appears. The angel says to the frightened shepherds, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." Then we come to the second line, "What king would take a lowly birth?" Jesus, the King of heaven, comes in quietness and humility. In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, the angel of the Lord says to the shepherds, "And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." The King of heaven comes as a little baby, placed to sleep in an animal feed trough, wrapped in strips of cloth. Joseph and Mary in an animal stable behind the inn. There is no other information given to us of a midwife or supporting family members. The Bible records only the shepherds coming to see if what the angel had told them was true. The next line, "Yet to this dark and broken place you came." From the time that sin entered the world, it was no longer the paradise that God had created. Because of their sin, God placed a curse on the serpent, on Eve, and on Adam. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about all of creation being under the curse of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, "For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." Even as Christians today, we are not exempt, as Paul goes on to say in verse 23. "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering." God came to a dark and broken place through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the next line, "to sleep beneath the stars that you had made." In Colossians chapter 1, Paul tells us about Jesus as the creator of the world. Verse 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. And the last part of that verse is, everything was created through him and for him. But even as the creator of the world, Jesus would say to those who said that they would follow him wherever he went, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. So we come to the next verse, the second verse. What love my God would send the way of life. Some of my favourite Bible verses are found in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 to 8. And this is hope. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The only way for us to gain a full life, an eternal life after we die, is through Jesus Christ. God's love for us is so great that while we were still sinners, God sent his only Son to die for our sins. The next line in the verse, to walk the road rejected and despised. Isaiah, in his prophecy about Jesus, says he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Jesus told his followers that they would be persecuted and rejected as he was. The final rejection of Jesus came as the people cried out, "Away with him, crucify him." The next line, "That you might know the weakness I possess." The writer of Hebrews speaks of Jesus being our high priest and that Jesus could perfectly fill this role as he understands how weak we are. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 17 and 18. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And the next line, and be my rock of strength and righteousness. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2, King David writes these words, I love you, Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my saviour. My God is my rock. In him I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 to 8 and 23 to 25 says this. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy that those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleansed of sin. Referring to Abraham, Paul writes in verses 23 to 25, and when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. The chorus of this song says, O your love, my God, like a flood, as heaven opened up, pouring out on us. O praise the King who came to the world in his love like a mighty flood. As the writer of the song thinks about how much God loves us, it appears as a mighty flood pouring out of heaven. We become saturated in God's incredible love as a result. And the result of this is that we praise the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world. The next verse, what love, my God, could hold you to the tree? The thought of dying on a Roman cross was not something that Jesus was looking forward to. Three of the Gospels record the account of Jesus as he prayed in the olive grove. Mark chapter 14, verses 35 and 36 records the prayer of Jesus, where it says, he went a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. The love that allowed Jesus to face the awfulness of the cross was his love for his and obedience to his Father God. The next line, to bear the overwhelming debt for me. Romans chapter 3, verse 26, well known, verse 23, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. In chapter 6, and verse 33, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sin is like a burden that we carry, that we cannot get rid of in our own strength. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, we read, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. The burden that we carried was taken off us and placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are free from the burden and consequences of our sin through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The next line, the Son of Heaven leaves the Father's side. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. In Mark chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, we read this. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? God causes darkness to be across the land as he turns his back on his only son, Jesus, and punishes him for our sin. The next line, the healer bleeds, the life was made to die. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, says this: "That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer.'" The reason that Jesus came in human form was to become the sacrifice that God required to be able to forgive our sin, to restore us to a right relationship with him. Jesus, the one who had brought physical healing and restored life, was now bleeding and dying to provide eternal life. And we come back to the chorus. "Oh, your love, my God, like a flood, is heaven opened up, pouring out on us? Oh, praise the King who came to the world in his love like a mighty flood." In the last verse of the song, it seems to me that there is a shift in thinking. While the earlier verses consider the wonders of God's incredible love from a theological perspective, the last verse appears to have a greater personal application. "This love is so gracious and extreme is for me. It has victory over hell and the grave. It allows me to stand in the presence of God and look at the face of Jesus, me looking at him and him looking at me." So I'm just going to read the last verse together. We're not going to look at any other Bible verses. "What love, my God, so gracious and extreme, was strong enough to come and fight for me, to go through hell and down into the grave, and raise me up to see you face to face. You raise me up to see you face to face." I'm just going to get the guys to play the song for you. I love the words, and I want you to hear it. Then I'll just talk a little bit more as we go into communion, and we'll have the song again as we take communion. Thanks, guys. So I guess the question I have for you as we come to take communion: are you amazed again by the incredible love of God for you? As you think about the King of Heaven coming into this world he created in humility and obedience to his Father, as he experienced the hatred of the people he came to save, as he experienced the punishment of God for our sin, does it cause you to bow down and worship? Does it cause you to come with thanksgiving for all that God has done for you through the birth, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's just pray for communion. Father God, we are amazed at your love. You are an incredible, awesome, holy God, and yet you love the people, you love us, the people of your creation. People who wandered away from you, did their own thing and sinned against you. And you make a way for us to be restored back into fellowship with you. Thank you, God, that you have made a way for us to come back into that right relationship, where we can experience your love every day. And we want to bow down today and say thank you and worship you. We thank you for this little piece of bread that we'll take that reminds us about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was suffered such brutality. We remember from what the Bible teaches that he was flogged 39 times, that his face was beaten so badly that it was hardly recognizable. Crowned with thorns. And when we think about and partake in this juice today, we think about the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed. Think of the soldier who thrust that spear into his side and the blood flowed out. So as we come, Lord, to communion now and take these small emblems that remind us of the Lord Jesus and all that he went through, we pray that our hearts might be lifted in worship to praise you that our hearts might be full of thanksgiving to say thank you for all that you've done for us. We give our thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.